Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Cigar Chat, brought to you live on CigarFederation.com, broadcast around the world in the Armed Forces Radio Network. Thank you for tuning in wherever you are out there in the world today. I always say I'm going to change my intro, Logan, and I never
You do. Never have in almost 4 years. It's horrible.
It's the exact same, and I'll always do the same thing. If you're watching a video, I'll start fiddling around with something on my desk.
It's like a habit.
And it's the only time I fiddle.
You're not much of a fiddler.
I'm not much of a fiddler, really.
You're really not.
I do play the ukulele a little bit, though.
Are you being serious, or are you just joking right now?
I go get it right now and play it.
I don't believe you. Go get it.
You really want me to get up and get the...
Not right now, but later.
I'll get it.
I want you to get it.
Oh, in the after dark segment.
Yeah, I want you to see you play a freaking ukulele.
I got it. I like it because it makes me feel bigger, you know, because it's like a really small guitar. I feel like a
like
giant.
Like in the pants or just as a man?
No, just in general. Like, you know, when you get those small little bottles of liquor on the airplane?
Yeah, and you drink like 50 of them?
Well, no, but you hold it and you kind of feel like a giant because they're so small.
I mean, Rob, I'm a big individual to begin with, so I don't really have that problem.
Yeah, you're somebody just joined in.
Who is Francisco?
I'm not sure. I will just keep you muted.
How did that happen?
I don't know. Now I'm totally thrown off track.
I'm totally like, who is this fella? Sam, I thought it was like your cousin or something.
I'm gonna go ahead and remove him from the show.
Yeah, just
I'm gonna have John start this over.
No, we're fine.
He'll cut all this stuff out. Anyway,
go.
So I do play the ukulele, and it does make me feel like a larger individual. And you are a big guy. You're not super tall, but you're stout.
Yeah, you know these Irish people. You know
you're stout, and just to keep it on topic, I'm actually drinking a stout right now.
Nice.
Draconian Imperial Stout. 8.75% alcohol by volume. I just started, so it hasn't really affected me yet. Anyway, we'll get back to the topic because nobody really cares about any of this stuff. Nope. We've got Willie Herrera joining us today, master blender for Drew Estate Cigars. Willie, thanks for taking the time, man. Appreciate it.
Anytime, man. Thank you for having me.
This is the first time that we've had Willie on the show. We've spent some time with Willie down in Nicaragua and had some interviews and things at IPCPR. So we've definitely had a chance to speak with him, but this is the first time we've had him on the show, so we're excited to do that. A lot of stuff to talk about. We got a lot of questions. So you've been give us kind of an overview of your career in the cigar business. I mean, you've been with Drew Estate for a few years now, but let everybody know what you were doing before then and kind of what has led you to this road.
Well, before Drew Estate, I was running the factory, family's factory in Little Havana, El Titan in the Bronx. Mm-hmm. Started there back in 2000, and full time I started there around 2004, 2003-ish is when I started there full time. I was always involved with the factory, and the biggest issue that I had there when I started was, you know, it was very different from how it is now. You know, we have about 14 rollers there now, tobaccos from everywhere, compared to how it was when I was there. We had basically, you know, 3 or 4 different tobaccos. We had some Dominican stuff, Nicaraguan tobacco, and 2 different wrappers. 2 rollers, of which neither one really was a blender. And you have to remember, this factory started during the boom. Mm-hmm. So, number one, you didn't have a lot of tobacco variety for you to pick from in Miami. And 2, being a new company, a new factory, there just wasn't a lot of relationships at that time with people outside of the United States that grew tobacco. Had no connections in the Dominican Republic, no connections in Nicaragua, Honduras, so on and so forth. So basically, when I came on board full-time there, we had two cigars. We had a Connecticut and a natural. And I couldn't smoke either one. I just I didn't like them. And so I would always bring in cigars that I would buy in stores, you know, at shops. And needless to say, they didn't like that very much, because why was I smoking other people's cigars, having all the cigars I could smoke in the factory? So I had two choices, either keep dealing with the nagging or have something made there that I was going to enjoy. So I decided to start playing with tobacco, start blending stuff, start learning about the stuff that we had there, because I had never done that. I was always involved, but never in the blending side. You know, I was there to the extent of, you know, look at the cigars that were being made, you know, more of a quality type, quality control type thing, packaging, marketing, that type of, never really the manufacturing part. So, man, I started playing with tobacco, and I started just, well, first I learned how to make a cigar. Once I've learned how to make a cigar, how to do a bunch, how to put it in the mold, how to pass wrapper, then I started playing with the tobaccos that we had. And I started to make a lot of stuff that I like to smoke. And the factory is in Little Havana. So at that time you had Ernesto Carrillo's factory, La Gloria Cubana, across the street. And right next to them was Reyes del Havano, the Pins factory, where he started. Mm-hmm. So we had a lot of traffic, a lot of people, buses would park twice a day. People would get off, would come across the street, would go to all the other factories. And I started to, you know, I would greet everybody. And after talking to the, you know, to the people 5 minutes, I kind of got an idea of they knew what they were talking about, or if they were just, you know, your vacation or just looking for a gift.
Sure.
So those guys that I figured they knew what they were talking about, or they would tell me they owned a store or they worked at a store, or so on and so forth, I would go to the back and grab some of the stuff that I have been working on and give it to them and get their feedback. Well, that led to a lot of shops then calling 2 weeks later, inquiring about that cigar that I gave. So we started doing a lot of private label or house cigars for a lot of shops. Then that grew into some of the some new brands that wanted to come out, as well as some existing companies that already had cigars that wanted that boutique Miami-made cigar. Because during that time, Padilla's 1811 was super hot. Tatuajes that were coming out of Pepin's place were super hot. The Pepin Garcias were super hot. Anything that was coming out of Miami was real, real hot. And they were pretty much maxed out on, you know, they couldn't keep making stuff for people. So people started coming over to Old Titan to inquire about having a cigar made. And that's really how everything started, you know, through a lot of those brands that I was doing for a lot of those other companies or other stores, word was getting out of the stuff I was doing, stuff I was blending, the buzz. And that's pretty much how John started paying more attention to the stuff that I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
Time went on. I met John at some point. That's a funny story. I got to tell you how I actually
met him,
which I'll tell you that story now. So, yeah, John, one day, you know, called me up. We had dinner and asked me what I thought about joining Drew Estate and basically doing what I was doing in my factory here at a larger scale and develop the traditional side of cigars for Drew Estate with my style, not changing anything to the Nicaraguan style or the Drew Estate style of making cigars. You know, he wanted me to continue making cigars the Cuban way, the same way I was making everything here in Miami. And here we are, man, 4 years later.
It's you went from you know, small factory, and you saw that kind of start from the beginning. And then you jumped in on to Drew Estate right when they were building on, adding on to their first factory and adding on to that. So you went from kind of one extreme to the next.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Not only in size, but in tobacco.
Yeah.
By the time I left, we had a lot more tobacco than when I first started, you know, different people, but nowhere near what I encountered once I went to Drew Estate.
Nowhere. Yeah. I can imagine that must have been, it's got to be an interesting thing. Like, I mean, you go from El Titan to Drew Estate, so there's going to be a little bit more pressure there, maybe, if nothing else, more perceived pressure. And you have so much more stuff to work with. It's got to be, I mean, did you find that overwhelming?
Absolutely. That's why it took so long for the first brand to come up with a blend, man, because there was so much tobacco, so much stuff to work with, that I really had to narrow down first what wrapper I wanted, because if I would have started just playing with all the wrappers we had, I'd still probably be coming up with a
That's awesome.
And so for the folks listening who may not know, that first blend that you produced for Drew Estate was the Herrera Esteli. Right. And since then you've done the Herrera Esteli Norteño and the Underground Shade. And did I miss anything?
The Limiteds in between.
Yeah, the
Limiteds, yeah. The Limited Lit. Sorry, go ahead.
It was the Herrera Esteli Core Line.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Then the Herrera Esteli Limited Lancero.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Then the Norteño. Then
exclusive
Norteño, which was introduced this year. And then the two Tienda Exclusivas, the one for Barrister in Jersey and the one for Riverside.
That's right. Now, Logan, we smoked those, right? We smoked the one
I smoked the Barrister one.
The Barrister one. That's got the red band on it.
I think they all have red bands, right?
And the foot band.
Right.
Yeah, and that was a smaller one. I smoked one. I still have one of those left. But the one for Riverside, I haven't smoked.
I haven't smoked them.
They're both totally different cigars.
Now, Riverside, that's
Jeff.
That's Jeff, right?
Yep.
And his bar, Match. Is that what it's called?
I don't remember the name of the bar. I think so.
Yeah. He's a cool guy. I've had some interactions with him. He's a really cool dude. And you got is Sam still back there?
Yep.
Sam, everybody, we see you creeping back there. You got to wave and say hello.
Great.
What's going on?
That's Sam Morales, another member of the Drew Estate team, and he gets the pleasurable job of dealing with Logan on a regular basis.
I'm nothing but rainbows and sunshine.
Yeah. If you haven't figured out by now, take everything that Logan says and just believe the exact opposite.
That's not necessarily true.
It is for the most
Rob's
part.
Rob's a great person. He's horrible.
It's a pretty safe assumption that you're going to end up on the right road.
True.
So okay, so Willie, so this year you've got the Underground Shade. That's your main thing. That's your baby. Let's talk about that a little bit. That one's a question from there's a question from Bob Dog here, and Bob Dog always gets the question that has the most upvotes. I don't know how many accounts Bob Dog has and how many times he's voting for his question.
I think he's just full of crap.
He must have like five or six accounts because he's always right at the top.
It's absurd.
But he always asks good questions. So he says, when you were blending the Underground Shade, was the thought process that the cigar market needed a cigar to bridge that gap between some of the stronger cigars and some of the more mild Connecticuts, and maybe more specifically, that gap being in the Drew Estate portfolio, maybe not the cigar market as a whole. And were you worried about how it would be perceived? Because it's a big leap, I should say, from what Drew Estate has done in the past.
All right, the first part, I wanted to bridge a gap not in the market, but for Drew Estate.
Sure.
Because there's all kinds of Connecticuts out there.
Mm-hmm.
So my biggest thing was to, the same way I did with the Herrera Esteli and the same way I did with the Norteño, was fill in a gap that I felt we had avoided, you know, add something to our portfolio that was unlike anything else that we have. That was my That's what I was working towards. The second thing was actually doing a Connecticut that I would smoke. I never, ever, ever smoked a Connecticut, nor have I ever smoked a Connecticut, unless it was just to try, you know? So it was kind of a challenge for me to make a Connecticut wrapped cigar that I would actually enjoy. I will tell you it was the hardest cigar I've ever blended. For a number of reasons. Number one, because I never smoked Connecticut, and number two, I'm not a fan of the wrapper. So I had, you know, two things working against me from the get-go in developing the blend, you know. So I tell people all the time it's not your typical Connecticut, you know, because most of the time you think Connecticut's real mild, real mellow, you know, not a lot of flavor, not a lot of change. And this cigar is the exact opposite. You know, it's you get greeted with a nice spice right off the light that people are taken back. But then it mellows out, transitions, and it goes changing as you smoke the cigar. And I actually, not because it's a Drew Estate cigar, because there's cigars that I don't smoke from Drew Estate. I don't enjoy. But that cigar, for being a Connecticut, I smoke it every day. You know?
Yeah, it's definitely it's got a bit more character than some of the other Connecticuts that we've smoked. And Logan, you could probably chime in on this too, because I know that you've smoked this. It definitely had more. It's not a mild cigar. It's kind of a medium minus.
It's got a lot of body.
Yeah, and it's got a lot of body to it, exactly. So, I mean, Logan, you're kind of in the same boat as Willie. You never smoke Connecticuts.
Unless they're real good, and there's very few of those.
They're really, you know.
I count them on one hand that I can smoke.
And I would assume that the Underground Shade is one of them.
Yeah, of course.
Okay, well, that's good.
But I haven't been able to get them yet. I haven't got, well, like, purchase a box yet.
Don't feel bad, neither have I.
I know, hey, man. I know, exactly.
All the ones I smoke are all the samples I bring from Nicaragua.
Well, at least you got a source. I don't even have a source.
Yeah, there you go.
So you can't smoke your own cigar, that's a problem.
So have those haven't hit stores yet. When are they going to hit stores? Soon, right?
Some have. Just not a lot of them. Stores are getting two boxes, maybe.
Like Delaware got two boxes.
Yeah. Yeah, they're hitting, just not.
Very slow.
Yeah. It's more of a trickle as opposed to like a deluge.
Yeah.
Yes.
Dick Did I use trickle. Deluge correctly there?
I don't know. I just keep thinking about Dick Trickle. He used to be a NASCAR driver.
What about Cole Trickle?
I don't know who Cole Trickle is.
You've never seen Days of Thunder?
Dude, I'm like half your age. I don't know Days of Thunder.
You are like half my age.
No, but I feel like it sometimes.
You're pretty close. You're pretty close.
Yeah.
Just a reminder to our audience, you're listening to Cigar Chat, brought to you live on CigarFederation.com. Broadcast around the world in the Armed Forces Radio Network. Thank you for tuning in. We're here with Willie Herrera from Drew Estate Cigars, talking about the new Underground Shade. A message from one of our sponsors. We've got a Casada Oktoberfest giveaway coming up here later this month. You guys want to keep an eye out for that. We're going to have some limited edition cigars and some steins available for you guys to try and win from Casada Cigars. So keep an eye out for that. That's later this month.
Shameless plug.
What's that?
It said also available for purchase in the Sig Fed store.
Absolutely. Plug. Absolutely. There's no shame in our game, man. Logan, I'm just going to keep going down these audience
questions. Just go it, man. The audience never gets to talk. And I kind of, you know, I'm kind of resting my throat for Mexico tomorrow, because it'll be the first time that we'll be away from the baby for more than 5 minutes. And I'm saving my voice, so I have to scream at my wife to tell her to quit crying, because she's going to miss the baby a lot.
You are just a big teddy bear, my friend.
I'm husband of the year. That's what I've heard.
So when your wife says something like that, you should use the same advice that I gave the audience and just believe the exact opposite.
You mean like, by the way, I just want to say for the record, I know this is off topic, but remember when we were talking IPCPR, we were talking about how I'm such a, you know, a crap bag, and I, like, you know, my wife will, you know, be like, man, I feel fat, and be like, well, go do something about it. Like, I just have no filter for that kind of stuff.
No filter. Exactly.
No filter, just raw dog in it. And you said, Logan, you need to do more of the kissy, winky, smile emoticons. And I have to admit, Rob, it is, I mean, awesome.
I've changed your life, man.
No, you really have. Like, I mean, all I got to do is just during the day is just, hope she's not listening, is just wing one of those. And the world is right, my friend.
I mean, if you listen to your wife and let her know that you're thinking about her, she's going to be very happy. It's simple.
Oh, dude, it was awesome.
It's very simple. But this is not, normally I'm the one who takes us off topic. I'm going to bring us back. We got another question here. This one's from Mark Van Sledright. This is also about the underground shape. Now, Willie, you talked about blending with the Connecticut. This was new for you, taking you outside of your comfort zone a little bit. And, you know, he asks, did you find it difficult? We talked about that a little bit. How many different blends did you go through before you found the one that was right? How long did it take?
Dude, I lost count of how many blends I went through. I will tell you it was over a year.
In blend, okay.
Lord. Something that I was going to enjoy.
Wow.
And then,
like,
yeah,
over a year. I keep talking the exact same time you're talking. I apologize.
I have a question. How do you? I mean, if you're really blending for a year, and let's just say there's a new sample every day. Let's just assume 365. Like, at some point, do you kind of like lose track and blends get lost in the shuffle? Do you know what I mean? If you're making that many, where it's taking you a year, like I don't, you know, like do you get to a point where you're just like, man, let's go back to number 42. Oh, crap, was that 83 that was really good, or was that 84? I can't remember. Like, how do you keep it straight?
Because you're taking notes off every single one that you're smoking. And somewhere off the bat, you chuck it right away because it's just absolutely awful. You know, so when that happens, you just scratch that number off, you know. You're not doing, you know, 20 blends in a day. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not living in the factory, so I'll be in the factory, say, at the very least, a week out of a month, every month. Sometimes I'll be there, you know, twice a month, 3 days each trip. So, you know, every trip I was down there, I would do 5-10 different blends. And then you smoke them right off the table, see how they are. Some you don't even have them made. Others, then you go ahead and you make them, and you got to wait 30 days and then wait 45 days. So it's a process. It's not like as soon as you make it, you know, okay, this is the one. You still have to wait for the cigar to mature and be ready for you to make a decision. You can't make a decision with a blend right off the table. That's why it takes so long.
Yeah, so, I mean, you got to think about it. For every one that you're blending, let's just say for each batch, maybe you do 10 at a time. And for those 10, you're waiting, like you said, that requisite 30 days, 45 days, 90 days, whatever the case may be.
Right.
That time adds up quick, man.
It does.
That adds up quick, especially when you're working with something that's, like you said, it was outside of your comfort zone. So there had to be, I can imagine, from, you know, sample number one to sample whatever, 100, it had to be a completely wide range of outcomes, you know. I mean, now I'm gonna follow up with a question that is not really related to the underground shade, but in that process, when you're going through, let's just say, let's use the underground shade as an example. Let's say you came up with 150 different samples that you smoked through, and you settled on sample number 76 or whatever. It doesn't matter. Out of those 150, there had to be maybe another 20 that were contenders, right?
Sure.
I mean, does that stuff, I mean, obviously you keep records and that stuff. Somebody's got a spreadsheet somewhere that says what that blend was. Does that stuff ever come back around? I mean, when you're working on your next blend, say, hey, you know, that last time, blend number 62 was really good. What if we tweaked it this way, that way, or whatever? I mean, does that kind of thing happen?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Or you could use that for a project that pops up. Something limited, a limited run, or, you know, some special event that they want a special cigar. And then, yeah, of course, you have notes on everything that you've smoked and everything you've made, and everything has a code, and everything's in a system. And I have my records, you know, so, you know, something comes up, some special event, for example, a special dinner, and they want 250 cigars. That's how the first Tienda came up.
Really?
Exactly. Interesting. How it came out. That was a blend that I had done, one of the many blends that I had done. And David asked me, could I bring a special stick for that New Jersey Cigar Festival? I asked him how many he needed. He told me. I'm like, yeah, I could swing that. Talked to the guys in the office. They're like, yeah, they gave me the green light. Took that cigar, and that was a special cigar that was put in the bag for them. Huh. Well, it turned out that that's the one cigar that everybody was talking about at that festival. One thing led to another, and we ended up making that the first Tienda Exclusivo cigar.
Wow. That's pretty cool. See, I asked a good question, and Logan wasn't even here to hear it because he fell off. So yeah, I mean, I've always kind of wondered about that, and I mean, it doesn't seem like it, especially with the operation that Drew Estate has. It's so massive that I mean, you could go through some of these cigars and say, you know what, I really liked number 68, and it's not right for this project, but maybe we'll roll 1,000 of them, and we've got them. And if something pops up, bam, we can go to that cigar. We've got that stuff sitting around; it's ready to go.
Oh yeah,
that's kind of. And I could see that a few different things could have come out of this because it was, like you said, so different than what you guys have done in the past. Yeah, that's interesting. Got another question here. This one's from Marty Messina. He says, what do you tend to smoke the most currently? So of it, whether it's, you know, Drew Estate, non-Drew Estate, what do you find yourself when you're not working on a particular blend or just smoking because you want to have a cigar, what do you find yourself reaching for?
One of the many blends that I have that I bring back from Nicaragua. Like I said, every time I'm out there, if I'm not working on a specific project, like, for example, up to this point, I have been working on the Connecticuts. Mm-hmm. So now every time I go to Nicaragua, I'm working on other stuff, other things that I like to smoke that are different from stuff we already have. And so I find myself smoking a lot of those samples, like what I'm smoking now. This is a test band, and this is another test blend that I made. And so I'm always smoking cigars with these white bands with codes on them to see how they go smoking with time. When I'm not smoking this, I'm smoking Herrera Estelis, Norteños, pretty much exclusively. Unless I'm on the road and you know, I'll find cigars that are not accessible in Miami, mm-hmm. and then I'm buying that and I'm smoking that. You know, because the shops here are very different from the shops up north.
Okay, interesting.
So I don't always find hard to find stuff. Or it could be common for you guys, but they're just not common down here in Miami. So I'll find myself smoking a lot of that stuff, you know.
Interesting. So you're always working. That's what you're telling me. You're always working.
I'm always tasting new, trying out new blends. Yeah, pretty much nonstop.
Yeah, that's not a bad gig, man. That's not a bad place to be.
Hey, I'm not complaining.
I'm kidding, man. That's not too bad. No, when you talk about, you know, your different shops and going to different places, that's one thing I've noticed. I've become more of a beer geek lately over the past, I don't know, year or so. And I see these different beer – different.
You don't find any of that here in Miami.
No – well, they don't do it. You don't have many breweries down there. The weather probably doesn't really
– even in the liquor stores.
Really?
You could go into any liquor store up north and find all kinds of, you know, those micro brews
mm-hmm.
over here.
Nothing.
Very, very limited.
Man, well, when you come out to California, man, we'll take care of it because I'm spoiled out here. There's beer
next week, man.
You're coming out next week. Where are you going to be in Northern California?
No, Southern.
Yeah, Sam calls me up a couple weeks ago and says, "Hey, are you coming down for this event down in L.A.?" And I said, "Well, Sam, L.A. is 6.5 hours away from me." He's like, "I mean, I'd love to come down, but it's, you know, it's not right down the street. It's like California." From top to bottom is like Texas. You know, it's really, you know, it's spread out. But
it's the big one.
You don't realize how far it is until, like with Texas, I have no idea, Logan, how far you are from San Antonio or from Dallas. Or
3 hours. Austin's central, but if you drive from Texarkana, Texas, which is on the border of Arkansas, to El Paso, Texas, which is on the tip over that way, is longer than it would be if you drove from El Paso to L.A.
Wow.
All I'm saying, Robbie, is Logan would have made the drive.
He probably would have.
Logan would have thought about it.
Well, but then Sam said, oh, because I told him, I was like, well, I got to be at the ballpark, too. And he said, oh, I thought you worked for the Dodgers, and that effectively ruined our relationship.
Yeah, well, I'm sure that was all by design.
Because, so what? The Dodgers swept us. So what? It's all right. We still got, we were busy polishing our rings, and they scored a couple more runs than we did. That's all.
I should have worn my Dodgers hat. I'm so mad. I should have thought of that.
What's that?
I should have worn my Dodgers hat.
I see you in Phillies hats and Red Sox hats. You're just
he wears hats for style.
You're just a hat
guy. Not for
guy.
Support.
I'm a Red Sox fan, dude.
You're a Red Sox fan. That's all right. So we're both having rough years. It's okay.
Yeah, no, it's not been easy.
Yeah, that's all right. Let's keep going with some of these questions here. Let's see. Oh, this is an interesting question. This one's from Matthew Tye. Or Tay? T-Y-E. Would you say Tay?
T-Y-E.
Says, do you have any... This is an interesting question. We never asked this. Do you have any apprentice blenders that you are mentoring that we can expect big things from in the coming years? I've never really even asked that question.
I don't think I've ever asked that.
Are there such a thing as, like, apprentice blenders? I mean, do guys kind of shadow you and try to learn the business?
They get your coffee? Like gophers?
No.
No, the answer's no.
Short answer, Willie Herrera says no.
Negative. So, so then the follow-up question to that is, if somebody wants to become a blender, they want to do that. They want to work with cigars and blend their own stuff. I mean, you got started because you were working at a factory. So that's what you're telling me. Get a job
it's
at a factory
family business.
And that's how you get started?
Dude, I got started because I was working there. But the biggest reason is I needed to figure out something that I was going to like to smoke from there.
So you had a unique situation where you were working at a factory that you didn't enjoy anything they were producing. They were giving you too much crap for bringing in other stuff. So you said, well, screw it. I'll make my own stuff.
Exactly.
So there you go. That's how you become a master blender. Do that.
But it's a family-owned business, right?
Yes.
So it's a family thing. So let's say you've got Gringo Logan, who has no family ties to the tobacco industry whatsoever. You can't really, it's not like becoming like a journeyman or, you know, electrician. You can't really go to school for it.
No.
Yeah. So any white gringos out there, better find another career.
No, there's guys who do it, right? I mean, you could think of like Roma Craft, for example.
I mean, there's guys.
Yeah, there's our guys.
Yeah. I mean, you kind of have to go out and you go out and you buy the tobacco and you have to, you know, kind of take one for the team, so to speak, and cut those checks and start blending
you
on your own.
Yeah, cash money spends, but yeah.
So really, okay. So if you want to become a blender, you have to go down. You got to buy a factory. You got to buy a bunch of tobacco, and then you got to find somebody who knows how to blend stuff. Hire them.
You better speak Spanish.
And you got to learn Spanish. So that's the checklist.
Well, it's either that or you just start buying all kinds of tobacco, store it in your house, in your garage, and sit down every day and start putting stuff together.
Like home brewing.
Yeah.
Same concept, right?
There's guy that Michael Stewart does that.
Oh, he makes his own cigars, right?
Yeah. But let me just say, rolling up, I mean, if, even you might have the best palate in the world, but you think, oh, yeah, I'll just roll up some test blends. No. It's like the most complicated thing ever. I'd rather do, like, calculus.
I'll just roll up some test blends and we'll be good to go.
No.
Take some practice.
Not that easy.
No, I mean, you can... And, Logan, we've been lucky enough to do it in a very controlled environment at Drew Estate, at the Hoya de Nicaragua factory. And even at Hoya, where it's very controlled, I mean, you're working with a limited amount of tobaccos. And I would assume those tobaccos are chosen because you want these guys who are coming out, they get to do this once, maybe once in their life. And you want them to be able to blend something that they can smoke. It's not going to be completely horrible. And so you're putting things out there. Everything's chosen for a reason. But if if you're in a situation where it's you can choose whatever you want, yeah, you can come up with some Logan. You can come up with some nasty stuff, man.
You
can
get squirrely pretty quick.
You know, safaris, they could put whatever they want.
Yeah, that's what at so at the first cigar safari that I went to in 2013, you basically blended my cigar for me.
You basically blended my first one too. You're like ASP, okay.
No. I asked for your help. You didn't bully me. I don't mean it like that. Everybody's over there doing their own thing, and I'm sitting here looking at this tobacco and I'm thinking, what the hell am I going to do? I mean, I feel like, you know, going down there was a media trip. I felt like I could talk about this stuff a little bit, and then we get in the room and there's all these different leaves everywhere, and I'm just like, I got nothing. I didn't know where to go. And then Willie's sitting over there on the side of the room, and nobody wants to talk to him. I don't know why. And so I just went up to him, kind of sheepishly said, hey, can you help me blend my cigar? Because I really wanted to do something that was along the lines of the Herrera Esteli and the Lonsdale size stuff. I love that cigar. I absolutely love it. And what we blended turned out to be pretty good. I still have a couple of them left, so it was a lot of fun.
Nice.
So, yeah, if the moral of the story is if you go down on a cigar safari trip, don't be afraid to ask for help, because that's what everybody's in there for. And, you know, otherwise you're going to come out with something that's funky. Logan, have you smoked your safari blend from this year?
I think I might have smoked one, like, a couple days after I got back, and it was funkified, and I just kind of let them sit there for a while.
It's because we're coming up. It's been about 100 days, I think.
Yeah, I mean, you got to give them a while.
It's
one of those things you don't even want to smoke because there's only 10 of them.
Yeah.
So, like, you're kind of very judicious about, oh, I want to trade you for one. Well, you better be packing some heat, son. You better be bringing something real good.
I've actually got one of yours from...
I know, because I am a very generous fellow.
But I sent you one of mine.
I have one of yours. I have one of Surgeon's, too.
The one that you've got for me, that's the one that really helped me blend.
It's true.
See how it all comes full circle? Okay, so let me keep going through. We've got some more questions here. This one's from Abe Pineda. I'm going to go Pineda. I'm going to put the...
that's new.
I'm going to put the tilde over the end. I'm not sure if it's supposed to be there or not. Could be Pineda. I'm thinking Pineda. He says, it seems like you're a big fan of the San Andreas wrapper. Do you plan on working with Broadleaf anytime in the near future?
Already am.
So that's a yes.
Yep. So that's happening.
That's happening. That's in the works.
In the works. Do you care to elaborate on that anymore?
No.
No, Willie Herrera says no.
The king of the one-line answers. I love it.
Nope.
And I'm also working with the T52 Habano, Connecticut Habano.
Oh, interesting. Actually,
that's this.
Oh. And you know, it's funny. When you showed that earlier, you didn't cover the band, but that time you did. So we couldn't, not that anybody would know what the code means, but even if we did, we couldn't get it. So it was, that's the kind of stuff that we notice, Willie. We notice that stuff, man.
You mean like that?
Yes. Even if you weren't covering it, we couldn't read it anyway. It's because it's a dark room. It just looks white to me. So let's see. We got another question here. This is another one from Marty Messina. Marty's busy this time.
No, this guy's on it.
He says, do you feel pressure to follow the trends that other cigar makers are doing? I mean, do you guys feel like, you know, you're kind of looking over your shoulder to see what other people are doing, or do you feel like, you know what, we're going to set our own trends?
Yeah, we worry about what we want to do ourselves. We don't follow or try to fill gaps. You know, we just try to make our portfolio broader and put stuff in our portfolio that's all unique and it's all different from one another. Just so you have more choices of Drew Estate products for you to smoke. Not necessarily, you know, going or competing against something else that's in the market.
Okay. So, kind of a follow-up question to that. If you're working on something new and you kind of stumble across something and it's a little bit similar to something that's already in your portfolio, will you kind of ignore that or maybe just, you know, we'll keep track of it and put it on the kind of the back burner and maybe someday we'll do something with it, that kind of thing?
Well, if it's good, you're never going to put it away. You know, you're going to get rid of it and not use it. You're always going to put it away because, like I said earlier, you're always going to have a special event. You're always going to have somewhere where you could use that blip. Maybe, you know, for example, let's say with the Connecticut Shade when I was working on that, and say one of the blends that I was a runner-up, let's say, was just a little too mild and not exactly what I was looking for. Well, we might have a dinner or a golfing thing that we sponsor or something. Boom, and we could plug that cigar into that function.
The pipeline. You keep everything in the pipeline.
Absolutely.
It's called the hopper.
The hopper, the pipeline, the back burner.
Keep it in there.
You keep it in there. I think we exhausted that one, though. Any others? I think that's all the cliches for stuff you put on the back burner. So another question here from Abe, and I'm going to paraphrase. So you created the Herrera Esteli line. That's your line. That's where your blending is. But this year you went out of the box and blended something that was the Connecticut Shade Undercrown. So you kind of reached into the Undercrown line. Any plans to have a Willie Herrera Liga Privada cigar?
No.
Yes. No.
No.
No. I was saying yes.
Yeah, I heard you say yes. You said yes the same time he said no.
No.
Say that I will do a Liga Privada, another Liga Privada, maybe with Brazilian Matafina or, you know, XYZ wrapper. But it won't carry the Herrera Esteli.
So maybe I asked the question in a confusing way, but so in the future we can look for potentially an extension to the Liga Privada line, the Liga Privada number 22, that is blended by Willie Herrera.
Right.
Oh, okay. So it is a yes.
Yes.
Yeah. I think that was my fault, Logan. I think I asked the question kind of. I got squirrely. Wow. I think I got a little squirrely. That's good. I'm glad we asked that question. Because I've been looking forward to that addition to that Liga Privada line. It's a sexy line of cigars, man. It really is. It's that line that once you get into cigars, when you start getting really into it, that's the kind of those are the cigars you start seeking out. Man. Right. I mean, obviously they've been very successful, but to see another addition to the Liga Privada line. That would be pretty cool.
Yeah, and again, that's another one of those things that I'm working on, I have been working on, you know, other cigars that would be added to the Liga family, you know, line extensions, different sizes, all sorts of stuff.
I know I can always count on you for a Lonsdale, man. I know that's my size, and I always can count on you for one of those.
There's a Liga number 9 in a Lonsdale.
I don't think I've ever smoked that size.
Oh, it doesn't exist. That's just one of the samples. One of the stuff
that then there you go. That's why I've never smoked it. Hey, Logan, you have a mute button for when you're going to cough.
I know, but I just don't care.
Awesome.
Let's just be honest.
Our listeners on the Armed Forces Radio Network really appreciate that you take the time to press the mute button.
No, I absolutely do.
I know. We got another question here. It's so many questions. I need to pick up the pace. This is from Sean Tucker, and I don't recognize Sean Tucker's name.
That's a new name.
He's a new name. When you're developing blends, do you have a specific order you go in while you're building the cigar? Do you go with a wrapper first, or is it more of an inside out type thing? Like where does that start for you?
Wrapper.
Wrapper first.
Yeah. First, I decide what wrapper, then based off of what wrapper, I pick what binder. And then I start playing with the fillers.
Okay.
Is there people do it the opposite way?
I don't know.
You don't care?
No, I don't. Everybody has their own style, and I've never been one to ask how other people do their job. You know what I mean? I just worry about what I do and how I do it. So. I don't know. I don't know how other guys do it.
Other guys don't matter, Logan.
I'm realizing that.
They don't matter, man. We want to know what Willie does. So another question here. This one's from Jason Myers, and we can't get through a show in the last, 2 years, Logan, without a question from Jason.
Oh, at least. if
every,
not more.
Every single time, and he always asks good questions. And I feel like I say that every week. Okay, so this one is in reference to the Norteño Limitada Churchill. He says, when you were making the Norteño Limitada Churchill, did you have to tweak the blend much to get it to work in that vitola?
I did. I did tweak the blend, not to get it to work in that vitola, but because I feel that the Churchill smoker is going to be the older guy, the golfer guy, the more laid-back guy, and I didn't want it to be quite as in-your-face as the regular line. The regular line is a little bit more aggressive than the Churchill size. So I did tweak it a little bit so it would be a little bit more elegant. Just for what I think, I might be wrong, but for what I think the Churchill size smoker is going to be.
You heard it first here. Willie Herrera thinks Churchill smokers are laid-back, classy people.
Necessarily.
I don't smoke Churchills, and I'm neither of those. So yeah, you probably nailed it.
It sounds like you nailed it.
No, I think you nailed it.
That makes sense, though, when you say, because really, like, I don't smoke Churchills either unless it's a cigar that I'm reviewing and it only comes in a Churchill. Like, what we just did one. I can't remember what it was, but... That's an interesting thought process, though, because to say that, you know, the golfing guy, I mean, that's what, if I'm going to the golf course, I look for a longer cigar. I don't really look for a bigger ring gauge. I'm not a big ring gauge guy, but I look for something longer that I know is going to last me 9, 10, 11 holes, and, you know, I'll probably have to relight it a few times while I'm, you know, crawling down through the creek trying to find my ball, but that makes a lot of sense to tame down a blend when you're going into a size that's a 2 to 2.5 hour smoke. That's I didn't realize that people actually did that. I figured it was just the same blend and you just made the cigar bigger. Huh. Interesting.
Yeah.
Another good question from Jason Myers. Let's see. Here's one from Swede Lindstrom. And this is, it's on topic, but it's a little bit off. What did you do before you were a cigar blender?
I worked in a bank.
You like a bank teller?
At a bank?
Started off as a bank teller, and then I became a loan processor.
A loan processor. My wife.
I feel like you've got a low acceptance rate on the loans you're giving out. I don't know why. I just feel like you're not giving out any money to nobody.
It's like, no, I didn't get a good feeling from this guy. No, he denied.
Nope, he didn't smoke Churchills.
I'm not a nice guy.
No, yeah, I think you're a very nice guy. I think you're just a very reflective type person where I see you analyzing every word they say and taking it in and then stamping no, rejected. Not because you're mean or not friendly. I just think you sit back and you listen a lot. This is the most I've ever heard you talk, and I've been around you a lot of times. So,
well, you're doing a good job in bringing out the one word answers, Logan. You've been on point with those.
That's what I do.
No, I'm just giving you a hard time. Another question here from Sean Tucker. We still got, what, about 10 minutes left? 15?
Mm-hmm.
Let's see.
Eight.
Oh, well, I was halfway there, or whatever. That wasn't very good math. No. Sean Tucker, he says, simple question. What is your favorite type of cigar to smoke? Maduro, Connecticut, other? What's your favorite type?
Oh, man.
Maybe it's not a simple question.
It's not. I love good Maduros. I'll tell you my two favorite wrappers. Okay. And that's Habano, Ecuador Habano, and San Andres. Okay. So.
That has to be my favorite, too.
Most of the time I'm smoking either or. Now, what size? It's either a Corona or a traditional Robusto, 5x50.
So when you're blending, what size do you blend to?
Corona.
Corona size. Mm-hmm. Very interesting. I think the most common answer that we get to that question is Toro size. Yeah, 6x50.
Or Robusto, yeah.
Yeah, it seems like that's what most people blend to. So, yeah, so everything that you're... So if we want to get the truest representation of the blend that you came up with, we want your cigar in a Corona size.
Yeah.
So everything that you do is available in a Corona, right?
Yeah, so far.
So far, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, so, okay, I got a question for you, and I was remiss to not ask this at IPCPR, but we did do our interviews with you guys the first thing on the first day, so I wasn't quite in the mode yet.
You weren't prepared.
Yeah, I was prepared, but it was the first thing the first day. You know, you kind of got to break the ice.
And, oh, no, you just jump in.
Well, this is what we did. We just jumped right in. We didn't put our toe in. We jumped right in, right in the pool. So in the interview, I asked you about the Connecticut Shade Undercrown, what sizes it would be available in. And you said it will be available in all the sizes that the regular Undercrown is available in. Now, the regular Undercrown is available in a pig.
Everything is pig.
So will the Shade be available in a pig as well?
No. It will be available in every size except the pig.
Except the pig. For now.
Now, it has been blended, and there are samples of the pig in the Connecticut. But as far as I know, that's not going to be available for sale right now.
Things stand, it's not available anytime soon.
As things stand, or as far as I know.
Okay.
So how much are you in the know, Willie, is the question.
Tobacco and blends, I have all to know. Other than that, I don't get very involved in sales and all the other technical stuff. Leave me in the tobacco world, in the factory.
I'm going to read between the lines there, Logan. What about you?
Yeah.
Yeah. I see it in the future. Maybe. I see it coming.
It'd be kind of weird smoking a Connecticut pig. I don't know why.
Why?
No, I just think there's something weird about it.
I don't know.
I'm just saying.
It'd be interesting. I mean, I don't know that I've ever smoked, because the pig actually gets to a 60 ring gauge in the middle, right?
Right.
Right.
I don't think I've ever smoked a Connecticut in a 60 ring gauge.
Not on purpose.
Not because I wanted to. No, I'm one of the few guys. I like Connecticut. Some of them anyway, not all. Interesting. Okay, so we'll look forward to that, even though, as far as you know, it may not happen, but I'm going to read between the lines and think that it will. Another one from Jason Myers here, in reference to the Underground Shade. That's kind of the hot topic tonight. And we haven't talked about the Herrera Esteli Tubo. That's another one that was released this year.
Oh, yeah. And
we'll get into that here in a second as we wrap up. So does the Underground Shade use any of the same filler and binder tobaccos as the original Underground?
No.
So it's a completely different blend.
Completely different blend.
Completely different. Now, on the same vein, I heard a rumor, and I didn't clarify this with you guys before we went on the air, so I'm just going to ask the question. I heard a rumor that the two new sizes of the Nica Rustica are the blends are a bit different. Is that true or false?
Somewhat.
They taste different.
Is that short? I'll be honest. The initial release of the initial size that the Nica Rustica was released in, I thought it was okay. It didn't really hit my palate. But that short Robusto, I really liked. I haven't smoked the belly yet. That's a big cigar, and for me, that's like a 2-hour cigar, and I haven't taken that leap yet. But I did hear that the blends were a bit different, and to me, that short Robusto was a significantly better cigar. So, if the blends are different, if they are different, I think they're different in a positive way.
Good, I thought so too. I took the because I blended the Robusto and the belly. The short Robusto on the belly, and then one of the tobaccos that was using the original size we started to have issues with. So then I took that opportunity to go ahead and tweak it a little bit more to what I liked.
Interesting.
And that's what you have now.
Okay. So it's different, and it's the same but different. Yeah, it's the same but different. It's not significantly different, but it's different enough.
Yeah.
Okay.
Different enough where I think it's a little bit more balanced. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit more round compared to the original.
Yeah, to me, that cigar had more character to it than it did originally. Right. I mean, it still has that rustic appearance, and it really does have kind of a rustic flavor profile, really, but it was just a bit more, and I don't know what the right term, round is a good term, where it really felt like everything fit better.
Right.
Yeah. Interesting. Okay, so we're right up against it, Logan. We got, what, a few minutes left?
Yeah, not much.
So, Willie, we haven't talked about the Norteño Tubo. Tell us a little bit about, or not the Norteño Tubo, the Herrera Esteli Tubo. Tell us a little bit about that.
The Herrera Esteli Tubo, it's the same blend as the original, as the core line. It's just a new size. The Toro is a 6x50. And because of that size, it smokes totally different from everything else. And I really, really enjoy that size. Another cigar I can't get my hands very much. Any of those in my hands either. You know, the ones that I do have, that I do smoke and I have, are the ones that I bring back from Nicaragua.
Isn't it funny? Well, they're just like, you know what, Willie, we need you to blend this. And now that it's done, they're like, okay, yeah, but you can't have any.
You know, we've got to hear you guys first, man.
There you go. Good answer. Good answer. Now, that is one of the cigars that I feel like you can really get a very different experience with each individual Vitola. I mean, every cigar, it's going to be a little bit different, but for that cigar in particular, I feel like you get real different experiences.
Oh, yeah.
From the different Vitolas and the way that you tweak those blends to accommodate those sizes. So I'm interested. For me, that Lonsdale, that really can't be beat. That's one of the cigars that is always, I've always got 10 to 15 of those in my humidor at all times. And when I get close, there's an alarm that goes off, and I have to go order some more, or go down to my local shop and pick them up if they have any in stock. But yeah, that size is really the one for me. But I want to try that Tubo. Logan, do we have time for one more question?
Sure. I don't know. I'm looking. I don't think so. No, we do not.
No, we don't. Okay. So, Willie, on that note, we're right up against it for our Armed Forces Radio segment. Really do appreciate you taking the time and answering the audience questions and putting up with Logan. And
ha, ha, har, har.
No, it was actually kind of nice. You dropped off for a while. And
I know, it was awesome, wasn't it?
I've been picking on you a lot today.
I could care less. I'm going to Mexico tomorrow.
You are? Where in Mexico are you going?
Undisclosed location. You don't need to know.
Undisclosed, okay. I've only been down. My wife and I went a couple of years ago to Playa del Carmen. That area.
You're going to Cabo.
Okay. Yeah, so it's the same thing, more or less.
Not really, but
no, that's
country.
Cancun. It's not Cabo. Cancun is.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's not even close to the same. Anyway, that doesn't matter. Nobody cares. Guys, thanks so much for tuning in to another Cigar Chat. Really do appreciate it. Willie, thanks for taking the time to hang out with us. You guys can find Willie and everybody from Drew Estate online. Everything is at Drew Estate Cigars. For you, Willie, everything is at Willie Herrera, or at Herrera Esteli.
Herrera Esteli, right.
At Herrera Esteli on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all that. Really do appreciate it. And we're going to look forward to that Undercrown Shade Pig that is going to be coming out sometime next year. That at least that's what I think it is. That's unconfirmed, but that's what I'm thinking. I'm reading between the lines.
Spread it.
Yeah, it's going to happen. Anyway, guys, thanks so much for tuning in. Everybody in the Armed Forces Radio Network, thank you so much for what you guys do for us. You keep us safe so we can talk about this kind of stuff. And as I always say, you're built to do stuff that I'm not built to do. So thank you guys for everything that you do. Hopefully we can bring you some entertainment while you guys are out there defending us. So everybody have a great week. Stay safe. We'll catch up with you next week. And Logan, who do we have next week?
Nobody cares.
No, let me look. Hold on. Ezra Zion is next.
Oh, yeah.
We haven't had those guys in a while.
They'll be live from my smoke room.
Yeah, that'll be fun. They're going to be there with you?
Yeah, they're doing like an event in Austin or surrounding areas, and they're like, yeah, we'll just stop by your house.
Oh,
and I'm
wow.
Like,
that's
sure.
Going to be a cluster. Yeah, you'll have to tune in for that one. Thanks, guys. Really do appreciate it. We'll be with you next week. Everybody have a great week. Stay safe.
Hello, everyone. We're back.
I wasn't expecting.
I know you were. That's why I do it. It gets some giggles.
Normally, this is where Logan says, "Hey, fuckers, we're fucking back."
Hey, fucktards. That's normally what I say, but yeah, not in the presence of Willie Herrera.
No,
the potty mouth does not come out.
No, Willie's a classy guy, right?
He is, man.
He carries himself with
very well.
With kind of like there's a quiet confidence there, and it's just like he walks in and he's like, you know what? I know what I'm talking about, and I don't need to be loud and crazy about it. I know what's up, and that's the feeling that I get from Willie. So I wasn't worried. Sometimes we have guests, and I'm like, okay, guys, really, you can't say fuck during the show. You really can't. For the first 58 minutes, you can't say shit, cock, balls, bitch, whatever. But now you can, obviously. And I was not worried about Willie dropping anything during the show. So that makes me very comfortable, Willie, so I appreciate that. Sam, on the other hand, back there in the background, you're showing a little thigh, Sam.
Yeah?
Yeah, a little bit.
Nice.
It's a good look, man.
Nice.
It's a good look.
All the ladies watching are totally getting...
They're into it.
Hot in their undies.
They're into it.
So we've got some giveaways tonight. Sam, correct me if I'm wrong. We have two boxes of Herrera Esteli and one box of Norteños, yeah?
Well, unless Willie's got anything up his sleeve, which you never know. He's sneaky.
He's got some guns up his sleeves.
He wears some pretty tight shirts, so I doubt there's anything up.
He's got the gun show going.
Well, extra schmedium.
I'm all about the schmedium, dude. Yeah. Schmedium's the way to go. So that's what we're going to be giving away. Logan, we're going to pick some winners tonight. What do you think? How do you want to do this? You're scratching your beard. You're thinking.
No, that was just because I'm itchy. I mean, I don't really care. I mean,
the bugs
I'm open. No, man, this new smoke room is legit on so many levels. Like, I don't have to listen to Allie say it smells like smoke in the house. The only thing it will suck, I will say, is it's a little annoying having to walk outside and come out here in the dark because it's, like, completely dark. So, you know, I've dropped my cell phone and couldn't find it in the grass, and I had to get, like, a flashlight. That was a little annoying. But other than that, it's pretty legit. How's your eye feeling, by the way?
It's great.
Fucking grand, Logan.
No, I'm serious. I've had something stuck in my right eye since yesterday morning, and I can't get it out, and it's driving me batshit fucking crazy. I need to not think about it. But let's have people name your new smokehouse, your new smoke room.
Ooh, let's do it.
And we'll pick some of the winners there. We'll pick four winners tonight.
Sure.
And then we're going to do...
Email me, Logan@CigarFederation.com. Yep.
We'll pick four winners tonight include the name Logan's new smoking room. And we're also going to pick two podcast winners and two AFRN listeners. Those guys email me, Rob@CigarFederation.com. In the subject line, put Willie Herrera AFRN or Willie Herrera podcast. And also tell me what you think we should name Logan's smoke room. And if you're in if you're emailing me from the somewhere overseas, armed forces, let me know how I can get cigars to you, an APO or an FPO, whatever the difference is. I don't really know.
I'm throwing in my name for Logan's smoke room, the Frat.
What is it?
The what?
The Frat Cave.
The Frat Cave? I was thinking about calling it the Cunt Castle. You know, because I'm just a big cunt.
I don't think you can top that, man.
No, the Cunt Castle. I mean, dude, it would be awesome.
Oh. Rapunzel?
I could be like Rapunzel, you know, like the hair could be like up into the Cunt Castle. You know what I want to do, like a dream of mine, is I love how British people can get away with calling people cunts. And like that's like acceptable word, like, you know, you dummy.
That's the Australians, bro.
The British folks be doing it too.
Yeah.
Well, you know. Yeah, well, either way, they're all the same. They were all under the British Empire.
In Australia, it means like good thing.
Really?
Calling someone bro.
Really?
Calling them what?
Like bro.
It's like calling them bro.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Like you cunt? Huh.
Cunt?
But, I just want to go into a meeting and just start calling people cunts and them not to be offended. Like, that's a dream of mine.
Now, wait a second, though. Can I point something out here?
Sure, Rob.
If that day does ever come, then yeah. you're going to have to, you're going to find a new word that you're going to want, because all of a sudden cunt doesn't hold the same.
I don't know. There's not much better words than calling someone a fucking cunt.
Well, but a lot of that is because of the reaction, right?
Well, yeah, because, I mean, you might hear, like, shit in a meeting, or you fucking dummy, but you never hear, unless it's just, like,
you know what's awesome? Never. This is what's awesome. I need to explain this to the people on the podcast. Willie just got up and left.
He just burned out?
Quick bathroom real quick.
Willie just got up and left. Logan keeps saying cunt, and Willie gets up and leaves. I'm curious to see what some of these names are.
I like the cunt castle.
That's aggressive. It is. And then when you say, like, yeah, that's aggressive. Well, I don't know what I would call it.
You could call it the cunt cannery.
What about the disgruntled dungeon?
Mark, or Rob, listen. When it comes, I don't know why I called you Mark. I was like, when it comes, I was going to say, when it comes to marketing, Rob, this is not your forte. Like, the disgruntled dungeon. Versus the cunt cave in a battle, cunt cave wins.
Oh, it's, I like cunt, like, cave better than cunt castle.
Mixed and mashed versus dinks with drinks.
He's still in our swag cave, which is where we're at right now.
You're in the swag cave?
We're in the swag cave. This is my desk.
Wait, are you actually? That's where you work from.
Yeah.
Why don't you get into the big chair so we can see you?
Huh?
Weren't you just in Nicaragua like a day ago?
I landed 3 hours ago.
I told you, this guy's all over the map, man. All over the map.
Dude.
You should follow him on Facebook.
That's how I knew he was in Nicaragua.
Get into the big chair, Sam, so we can see you.
Get in the big chair?
Yeah, why not?
Willie just got back.
Oh, he'll sit on your lap.
Logan at CigarFederation.com. Name of my smoke room.
So, Sam, of all the places that you visit, you travel a lot,
mm-hmm.
right? What's your favorite place to go, other than Nicaragua?
My favorite place that I've been to so far is it's a weird one. I like Tulsa. Tulsa, Oklahoma.
You mean Tulsa?
Yeah. Wow, there's a little Connecticut accent going in there. Yeah,
okay.
There's a cool shop there. There's actually a few cool shops, but Bogan Bates is probably one of my favorite cigar places I've been to.
Cool.
Heard that shop. Got to go to Outlaw.
Nice.
Yeah.
Which is a nice shop as well. But I just like the vibe there more than anything. The vibe of that area, it's kind of cool. They're building it up a little bit. But kind of there's a nice little whiskey bar there. I mean, it's just a cool town area overall.
Interesting.
But other than that, I mean, I like Nicaragua because I get to turn off my phone, which is nice.
It's true. That is true.
Yeah,
so Logan can stop bugging you.
Logan can stop bugging you. Yeah, I see how this works now.
Willie's back.
Willie's coming back.
Yeah. Willie, what would you call my smoke room?
That's a good one. What would you call a smoke room?
Oh, man. I'm not creative.
You're not the guy?
We've managed to go this entire episode without talking about our Techo fundraiser.
Yeah.
I don't know how we did that. I blame Logan and myself.
I do take responsibility for that.
So, guys, we're doing a Techo fundraiser. If you follow Cigar Federation, you've seen it. You know all about it. I think it ends this week, yeah? On Sunday?
Yeah. Yep. No. Tomorrow.
It ends tomorrow?
Yeah.
Well, shit. Okay, so if you're listening to this on the podcast, it's already too late. Actually, no, the podcast will be up. So if you're listening to the podcast on Friday, September 4th, you can still get involved. They're $10 raffle tickets. We have, like, a metric shit ton of prizes. And seriously,
I mean, there
like,
is so fucking
prizes.
Many. I had to buy Tupperwares to store this shit in. Like, for real.
Like, serious prizes. I mean, we're talking about boxes of cigars that, I mean, you buy a $10 raffle ticket and you could win. And I'm not going to name the actual raffle that I got into, but I really did only buy one ticket. And I actually
won. I
would
want to say it so bad.
I actually won the grand prize, and it was a Drew Estate prize pack.
Ooh. It was
a box of Undercrowns that was supposed to be signed by JD, but it wasn't. But that's okay. And it was a, I got a, this.
An invisible ink.
This one here. This is the stinky ashtray. I think it's empty. It's empty. It's got the Liga Privada at the bottom. So I won that and a bunch of t-shirts.
That ones were cool.
And I only bought one raffle ticket. So you could, well, in this one you can't, like, there's a prize for the people who buy the most raffle tickets, but.
See, we do this.
Joke's on you, though, Robbie. It's not actually Underground. It's Logan's Cigar Safari one. The one that wasn't very good.
Yeah, no. I've heard mine's pretty good.
This was before Logan. And you know what, Sam? It might have even been before you.
Really?
How long have you been with your estate?
It was before you.
How long?
2 years.
This was...
It was before then.
4 years ago, Logan?
Yeah. No, it was at least 3 years ago. Yeah. Dude, it was before we even started our fundraiser, and this is the third year.
Yeah. Oh, wow. So it was probably 4 years ago. Yeah. Wow. Anyway, the point being, any raffle tickets you buy, you get a chance to win a prize. All the money goes towards building homes to for underprivileged families in Nicaragua. We are actually going to go down there next year and, you know, put hammer to nail and really build these. Like, we're actually going to build these homes. Willie, are you going to be there with us when we're building these?
Probably.
You're going to be there? Sam?
I will definitely be, yeah.
Now, Sam, are you going to be just under the umbrella telling people what to do, or are you actually going to be out there doing it?
That's Logan's job.
I'm going to be with Logan. We've got these two directors.
Dude, we are totally the chairs. The foreman.
Yeah,
and I'm just going to direct people.
Alice, we're going to be in charge of refreshments. So
I mean, absolutely.
Okay. I've already identified a Victoria and Tonya supply.
Nice.
You know?
I'm there for giggles while you're sweating your balls off, pounding nails into the side of a 2x4. Because you don't want me to make a house. It'll fall apart. That's why I have Jared do all my construction.
That's what I'm saying. I want to be on Jared's team, and I'm actually going to bleed while I'm building these houses.
Now, here's the thing. It all depends on how many houses we end up building. We might be able to – it might be pretty cool. We might be working hand-in-hand with some of the Drew State employees from the factory.
That'd be awesome. So that's really, really cool. So like Logan said, we've done 3 years of fundraisers, and this is the first time we've worked with Techo. First time we've worked with Techo in Nicaragua, so we're really excited to give back a little bit. Logan, you've got some answers to your questions. So go to CigarFederation.com, and you can buy some raffle tickets to enter to win some prizes. Logan, when are we giving the prizes away?
You know, that would actually require fucking Matt Ross to fucking text me or call me back.
So I'm shooting. Like next week sometime.
Next week sometime. It won't be Monday. I'm shooting for Wednesday. Because I want to get it all decided and have a couple of days before I go out of town again. So.
Okay. And we're going to do all the giveaways live, right?
Yeah. Well, Matt does his whole like little thing, so it's on the up and up.
Just spreadsheets and
just let him fucking deal. Just
like
say,
that.
Go, Matt, go.
Okay. Cool. So that's all going to happen next week. So yeah, try to get your donations in by the end of the day tomorrow, and help us build some homes and win some cigars for yourself. Logan, give us some of these. Let's pick some of these winners.
All right, we got a lot of good ones. Just tell me which ones, because I got a lot. I've narrowed it down. One from Jared Gerlot, the Lajero Lounge. Not horrible.
That's not bad.
It's not bad. I mean, it's a little stupid. Donald. Oh, Don's K. I really don't know what he said, but it was carnal house, like sexual relations. Shooter said the cunt cave, not the cunt castle.
I like cunt cave.
I like the cunt cave.
Yeah.
Hot Dog said the crusty cavern with a sign out front that says "Stay the fuck out."
Yes,
that's about right.
That's a winner. Crusty cavern.
On says good. Logan's Lajero Lair. I like that.
It's not bad.
And I don't know who Junior Piena is, but he says, who fucking cares? It's a smoking room. And I was like, well,
yes!
You know, it's
winner.
Kinda true.
That's a winner right there, too.
Oh, and Matthew Ty says, metric fuck ton cuntorama. That's just too long. All right.
Well, it does show that these people know you a little bit.
This
all
is
right,
true.
So we'll contact all the winners directly via email, and we're going to let I told these guys I'd have them on for about a little over an hour, and we've kind of stretched that a little bit. So, Willie, thanks for taking the time, man. Really do appreciate it. It was a lot of fun.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I look forward to seeing you guys. When are we going down, Logan? In November?
No, you dumb.
Oh, no, February.
It's in February, dog. February 21st to 27th. And just so you know, people, to go on the trip, you have to donate. First dibs. So everyone who has emailed me asking, when can I book my cigar safari trip? The answer is, fuck you until you donate to Techo. Because this thing's, once I release it, the dragon on it, it's going to sell out in half an hour.
The Kraken.
The Kraken. Half an hour.
Release
tops.
The Kraken.
And as always, we've got some special stuff up our sleeve for the Federation trip.
We do. That I'm not even aware of. So you can tell me after we go off camera.
There's all kinds of stuff that happened last time.
I don't even know what's going on right now.
Woo!
Can't even talk about it.
That's right. Double secret probation.
Yeah, I don't even know what that is, but it's not even on the After Dark episode. Like, you just don't get to know about it. Although we did get to go zip lining, which I was I'll be honest.
That video. I forgot about that.
Yeah, where's that the video awesome. At? That's Kenneth, right?
Yeah, I think so.
We have Kenneth, and then I have the GoPro footage.
You did a GoPro of it. And you were right behind me.
Yes, and that was when Tripp was freaking out.
Yeah.
Tripp was being such a fucking pussy.
Oh, dude, Tripp, in the back of the bus, it was me and Tripp and Jimmy. And Jimmy's a big dude.
Yeah.
I mean, like, he's no bitch.
He's a big kid. And we were all psyching each other out. Like, dude, I don't want to do it. And ultimately, we all said we want to do it just so we can tell our wives that we did it. That was really the impetus of what actually got us in those fucking harnesses. And I'll be honest, I was kind of scared. But then once – they do a good job of it, though, because the first one is real easy. It's real simple, that first little zip line. Willie, have you done it?
Yeah.
The first one is, what, like 50 feet? And you're 5, 10 feet off the ground. It's not a big deal.
Yeah, it's just –
Then you're going over somebody's house. Then it gets real. It was a lot of fun.
Did my man Shooter do it? I can't remember.
No, Shooter just chilled on the sideline.
Typical Shooter chilling.
No, yeah, Shooter's always just chill as shit.
Yeah, I think there was we had a couple guys who didn't do it because of back issues. And if you have kind of a back issue, you can't really do that.
Yeah, or if you're a large person.
I don't think that was an issue for anybody, though.
That didn't stop me.
I just remember at one point on the longest one, when you get up to the platform and they tell you, okay, don't slow down at all because if you do, you're going to get stuck in the middle and I can't see the other end of where I'm going to stop. Like halfway through, I'm holding on, but like my seat wanted to spin. And so somehow I ended up letting go of the wire. And so I'm spinning in circles and like just flying over this valley. And I was concerned about my well-being. But it was a lot of fun, man. I wish I would have done it with a GoPro. That would have been awesome. I want to see that video, Sam.
We got to work on that.
Yeah, we got to see that and all that video. That'll be a lot of fun. Anyway, let you guys go. Thanks for hanging out and being generous with your time. We do appreciate it. And generous with the giveaways as well. All of our viewers are going to enjoy those cigars that we're sending out. And we're going to look forward. Maybe we got a lot to look forward to. The Undercrown Shade Pig, I'm convinced that's going to happen. And the Herrera, Willie Herrera extension to the Liga Privada line, I'm looking forward to that. There's a lot coming out, Logan, that we got to be excited about.
I know, dude.
Yeah, it's good. Really appreciate it, guys. Thanks so much
for
taking the time to hang out with us. Willie, Sam, appreciate it. Guys, thanks for tuning in to another Cigar Chat. We'll be back next week. With the guys from Ezra Zion. It'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Everybody have a great week. Stay safe, and we'll see you on CigarFederation.com.
Yeah.